Turn with me to John chapter 7. John 7, and I want to pick up in verse 8 and work our way down to verse 18. Here in this passage, we see our Lord faithfully declaring the doctrine of Jehovah God. He came and faithfully preached the message that he was sent to preach. And we're being taught by our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our prophet, priest, and king. And in this witness that he bears of faithfully preaching what his Father sent him to preach, we, the church, we learn we have one message to preach. It's the message which our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, has sent us to preach. It's to preach and declare him. It's to preach salvation through Jesus Christ to sinners. And as the Lord grows us, he's teaching us not to be a hindrance to that and to obscure the light of Christ so that we don't make it hard for others to hear the gospel. Because Christ alone is salvation. And we want to do everything that we can do to help them here. And we help by not getting in the way ourselves. And the Lord teaches us this. He teaches his pastors this. And he's teaching me this as well. I've titled this message, Marveling in Christ. Marveling in Christ. Now, our Lord, we're going to pick up in verse 8, and he's been speaking with family members that have been giving Christ their fleshly advice as to what he should do to make himself known among the people. They had an interest in what he would do, and they wanted him to go to Jerusalem openly, in a very showy way and openly before the people. But the Lord shuts down this conversation. He brings it to a close in verse 8, and he proceeds to do what the Father sent him to do. He remained faithful in the work that God sent his Christ to do for the people. Verse 8, our Lord says, "You go up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come." And when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee, doing exactly what he said he would do. He said, "I'm not going up yet." But when his brethren were gone up, then went he up also unto the feast, not openly, not as his family members were advising him to do, but as it were in secret, quietly. He went up quietly so as not to draw attention to himself, because it wasn't time yet for there to be this open debate there with the religious Jews. Then in Jerusalem, we're told in verse 11, that while this is going on, this is an 8-day feast, and Christ was there, he just wasn't there openly. And it shows us just how plain, how unassuming Christ is. He looked like any other man. And there was nothing about him. He wasn't taller. His dress wasn't any different. The way he wore his hair or his beard, no different than any of the other people, so that he could be standing right next to them and they wouldn't even know it. And it says that the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there was much murmuring. There was much debate going on, secret debate going on among the people concerning him. For some said, "He's a good man." Others said, "No, but he deceiveth the people." Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. The Jews there, what they're referring to, is the ruling Jews. Those people, not in a governmental sense making laws, but as religious leaders, the Jews had an opinion on Christ, and that's what it's talking about. They didn't want to speak openly of Christ for fear of the ruling religious Jews. And in verse 14, it says, Now, about the midst of the feast, so this is around day 4 of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And what we see here with all this murmuring going on is there's always issues. There's always things that are important to people in the day that they live. There's always something to discuss. There's different opinions on things. This is always going on. This is always happening. And if you drill into it with people, it probably has some effect on their opinion of Christ as well. And so there's always issues, always debates going on all the time. There's much murmuring, it says, among the people concerning him. They all had different views of him. And on top of that, the ruling Jews had a very stern opinion, so that any open discussion was censored. They couldn't even speak of these things openly for fear. There was a fear of what might happen to them. And one thing that we see here is that in the midst of all this, Christ, at the appointed time, he goes up into the temple and he speaks. He teaches the people openly, clearly. He teaches the people openly in the public religious center there. He went and taught the people. And so we see there that the ruling Jews made it so that these things couldn't be talked about openly, and there was a fear of what might happen to them. And at the same time, Christ goes to the temple and speaks openly and teaches the people. And it says to me that we don't want to do anything to obscure the open declaration of Jesus Christ and him crucified. We don't want to do anything in our lives that takes away from that message or makes it hard for people to hear Jesus Christ and him crucified, because there is no other salvation and there is no other message that the church has been given to preach and declare clearly than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so through all the debates that go on in men's lives, whatever it is, whatever age you're living in, and whatever is being talked about, whatever the issues are, we have one message. And there's only one thing that is good and needful for the people to hear. It's the message of Jesus Christ. Just preach Christ. And that comes to me. I'm first speaking this message to myself as a pastor, as your pastor. That's for me to hear. And then also it's for you to hear as a church, because that is our calling. He is our one message, Jesus Christ and him crucified, because nothing else matters. In all situations, in good times, preach Christ. In bad times, preach Christ. In seasons of debate and tumultuousness, preach Christ. That's the only thing that's going to benefit the people. And Paul, in light of this, he went to the Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians 2:2, he said, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And what that says, well, first of all, he preached Christ because that's the wholeness, that's the sufficiency of what our God is revealing to us in the whole scripture. That's what he's teaching his people, is the salvation that he's provided for his people. And that salvation is found in one only, Jesus Christ. And that means that I can stand here before you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. I can have all kinds of fears and worries in myself, but so long as my message is Jesus Christ and him crucified, the people will be blessed. The Lord's people will be blessed and hear exactly what they need to hear. And any blessing that you receive, though I be weak, though I be fearful and come in much trembling, any blessing you receive, it's it's by demonstration of the Spirit and God's power. And you've been blessed by the power of God through the message that he sent his preachers to declare. To declare the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation by him. And so the pastor especially, I don't want to do anything that makes it difficult for you, my brethren, the sheep of God, to hear Christ, to hear exactly what you need to hear. There's nothing that I can let influence that message. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. And so we don't want anything. We don't want to say anything that clouds that message or keeps you from hearing Christ and him crucified. And that means that the Lord is the one who teaches his people this. He teaches all his people this, including his pastor. And that means that there is a stripping down. I don't want to have different aspects to me. That's not why I'm sent. I'm sent with one message. And that means that all other aspects about me fade away and have no bearing or to have no bearing on the preaching of Christ. And that's humbling because we all have many things to us, but the Lord brings his people low so that all you see is Christ. And that's all I want you to see is Christ, not me getting in the way in any way. We want Christ to shine forth brilliantly. Brilliantly. I want him to be marvelous in your eyes because he alone is salvation. He is salvation. And that's what we see here in the next verse. Let's read the end of verse 14 and then 15. Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters?" How does this man have learning, having never learned? He hasn't been to the synagogues and the places where the rabbis teach their people. He's never been here. He's some little podunk from Galilee. He has no learning with us. And we see that they marveled because they heard without any distraction. With all the opinions that they had, they all faded away when all they saw was Christ teaching the people. It was just the Lord Jesus Christ teaching the people. Now, first of all, he can do this without having ever learned from them because he is the very wisdom of God. And that's why we preach him, because he is the wisdom of God. He's the one who reveals God to his people. He's the one that gives us light and understanding and a knowledge of who the true and living God is. And then secondly, we see him shining forth brightly in the midst of all the things that were going on. And that just reaffirms for us, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter what the things are that are being talked about. Just preach Christ, because that he just goes right through all of the noise, all the distractions, all the fuzziness and the haze of life that people get themselves upset about. He cuts through that and is alone the word that we need to hear, salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ through his blood. And so when that was done, the Jews marveled. They marveled. And so when we declare the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified, he'll set everything right. He comes forth as a savior of life to some and a savior of death to others, but it's him doing it. He knows exactly how to lay that word. He knows exactly how to apply it to the hearts of each of the hearers. And he blesses and comforts his people with his word of truth. And so when Christ came, he taught the people the truth of the scriptures. He says there in verse 16, Jesus answered them, "My doctrine, my teaching is not mine, but his that sent me." And so we see here's the Lord himself, and he's preaching that one He's faithfully preaching the message that God sent him to preach. And he taught the people the scriptures. And he taught them the scriptures such that their blindness would be removed. And that tells me he preached what the scriptures are teaching the people, that we ourselves are sinners and that Christ himself is all our salvation. We need the salvation that is given to the people through Christ and Christ alone. He shed his blood to put away the sins of his people. He's the one that removes that blindness from our heart, just in preaching him. Just preach the truth of Christ, and he removes the blindness from the heart so that the hearer beholds the brilliance and the glory, the marvelousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we hear and know he's the one who came to reconcile the people to the Father. And so even though we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, here he's speaking as the servant of Jehovah. And that's for we, the church, to see. The humility of our Lord. The service that our Lord gave to his people. The service that he gave to the Father in humbling himself and not glorifying himself, but glorifying the Father in all things. He became a servant. He became the lowest. He washed the feet of the disciples. He became the lowest of his people that we would know how we are to be, how we're to live. That if our Lord humbled himself so to do the will of Jehovah God in all things, and to not make anything of himself, but to do exactly what the Father sent him to do, then how much more are we to do the same and to declare him? And that means in all things, not doing things that distract from that one message in any way. And so we see his humility and grace and stand in awe of it. I stand in awe to see how faithful my Lord is. Is and how gracious he is for us to do that for us, because it worked salvation for us. So the doctrine of God is to declare salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, to make him known to sinners who cannot be saved any other way. That's why Jehovah sent him. That's why the Lord God sent Christ, was to save his people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so that's what all of Scripture is declaring throughout this whole word. When we open this up, it's declaring redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not, it doesn't matter what people want to hear. It doesn't matter, you know, if you want people to be more moral or to be better church members. It's not about teaching people morality and teaching them how to be good church members and how to be good citizens. That's not the message. You preach Christ and he'll take care of all of that. He'll lay everything to our heart that we need to hear when he himself is exalted. We can speak of many good things and tell a lot of good stories from this word and miss Christ entirely. And miss him entirely. And so we're to preach salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Psalm 111, verse 9, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The redemption that we declare is Christ, who came and gave his life, shed his blood, is the Lamb of God who sacrificed himself to put away our sin. The covenant being spoken of is the everlasting covenant of grace fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ for his people. And this glorifies and honors the righteousness of our God. If our focus is on our righteousness and doing things better and doing what we need to do in works of the law or whatever that focus is, if when it comes on ourselves, we're then talking about our righteousness. We want to exalt Christ for the people to see that He is the righteousness of God, and that in Him we are righteous because He fulfilled all the law perfectly for His people. And we, in believing in Him, believing God and God's account of the Lord Jesus Christ, that glorifies the Father. That declares, Lord, You're true. My works are nothing. My works are filthy. My works are polluted with sin. But all my righteousness is in the one whom You've provided, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we see redemption spoken of throughout the Scriptures, and when Christ was born, there was a woman, a prophetess, in the temple named Anna. And when Christ was born and He was brought into the temple, it says that she likewise, or she, in that instant, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Christ to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The people of God were looking for that redemption, to behold when Christ would come. And now He is come, and we rejoice and are glad in His salvation, in His redemption word. And so if Christ was faithful to declare Jehovah God's word, and His words declare salvation for His people, then we are to preach the same thing. We're to preach ruined by the fall. We're to preach redemption by the blood of Christ. We're to preach regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Because the doctrine of God reveals Christ to us. Reveals Christ to us. I said a lot about preaching that that's our message. And the message is that we are ruined. We fell in Adam. We are sinners. We have no light in us, no ability to save ourselves. And while we were sinners, dead in trespasses and sins, we read that in Romans 5:8, God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He laid down His life for His people before we ever did anything or could earn any righteousness of our own. And then we see that man was trying to atone for his sins. He was trying to do works and make things right between he and God, but he couldn't. He did them in darkness. What he did was polluted and filthy by his own works. Even the Jews, they were following the law and they were making animal sacrifices, shedding blood to atone for their sins, and not seeing that these were a picture pointing to the coming Lamb of God, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with all their works under the law, they could not put away their sin. They could do no lasting sacrifice that could remove the stain and the guilt of sin. But that's why Christ came. Only the blood of Christ cleanses us from the guilt and the stain of sin. We read in Hebrews 9, verses 12 through 15, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works, dead religious works, to serve the living God. And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, under the law, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So we see that that we were ruined by the fall, and that we are redeemed, not by our works, but by the blood of Christ. And then Christ, having obtained our redemption, having purchased his own, graciously sends the Holy Spirit to make all this known in the hearts of his people. He gives the Spirit to regenerate us, to apply that blood to our hearts, to our consciences, to lift that veil of darkness off our eyes, that we may see and behold the marvelous, glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the salvation of God's people, that we might know the grace of God toward us and the inheritance which he's richly blessed us with in his Son Jesus Christ, because he's pleased to make this known to us. He doesn't leave his people in the dark to it. He calls us out, gives us faith and hope and no other hope but in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're born again by his Spirit, regenerated. And so these are all declared in the preaching of Christ, that men may marvel at the hearing of Christ, that we may learn what he has accomplished, that he may continually lay that to our heart and comfort us, because we're such forgetful hearers. And we get caught up in the things of the world, but by his grace, he renews and refreshes us and brings us to see he's everything, and he's all that I need. And he wipes away all the other nonsense and the noise, and we are blessed in that full, complete salvation that's in Christ alone. And so this is the message that we glory in, that Christ is our Lord and Savior. And this is the message that we take. He says in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, he tells us, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Our God shines forth the light brightly in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. And we'll see that more in the next message, but he's the candle that shines bright. And God has set that candle on a candlestick, which is the church. And the church is to hold forth that candle, that bright light. That's all we're to do, is hold that bright light that the world may see, that they may know him who is marvelous in our eyes, that he's all our hope and the one in whom we glory, that they too may hear and know and see and believe the salvation that God has provided for his people in Christ. And so that's what we preach, Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is our message, the message of redemption. And so we're to minister Christ to the hearers. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:23, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." So Christ is the stumbling block, but let us not be the stumbling block. Let us not be the cause of why people can't or won't hear the gospel of salvation. Let them hear Christ, and let us not get in the way. Our prayer is, "Lord, let me be plain. Let me be unnoticed and not get in the way, that they may hear your Son and believe, that they may see the Lord Jesus Christ, that let him bring low them that are high, and let him raise up them that are low. Let it all be of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let them marvel in our Savior. Let them rejoice in him, and let us not get in the way." And so our Lord, by his grace, is the one who works this testimony in his children and makes them witnesses of Christ, makes them faithful witnesses of this message of Christ. And so our Lord confirms this in verses 17 and 18. If any man will do his will, this is John 7, 17 and 18. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now it's Christ Jesus is the man who perfectly did this. He is that perfect man who perfectly did the will of his Father. And he says in John 6:38, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And so he came and he fulfilled all the will and purpose of God, and he makes known the doctrine of God, that he was sent of him, of God, and that he fulfilled all righteousness. Believe on him. Trust him. You'll never be ashamed or confounded believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have salvation. You have life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You that believe on him. He's the one that God has sent, and he accomplished our redemption, and this is revealed to our hearts by the Spirit of God. He says in John 6:40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Let this be our message alone, that all men may marvel at the Lord Jesus Christ, especially them that are given life by him.